The root of all conflict is literally, I might need you to hear me out on this. The root of all conflict is our departure from God. The root of all conflict is our departure from God. Now, the resolution of all conflict must build from a peace with God. I'm reading a book right now called Interpersonal Relationships. Well, it's actually John Koblenz wrote it about how to get along with people God's way. And that just jumped out at me so bad that we want to try and relate with people on a personal level instead of on a God level. And we want to take God out of it and deal with people right here without having God in the middle of it. So that just stood out. But the message this morning, I want to talk about eagles. And how many of you have ever seen a bald eagle? Literally flying, yeah. Bald eagles. So some of the pictures you're going to see are bald eagles. Some of them are golden eagles. Some are, they look like buzzards, but they're not. They're eagles. The American eagle, I think, looks like a turkey buzzard. But the verses that it floored me when I started searching about eagles, and I got this the idea when I was in Kokomo, Indiana, talking to a guy. But the whole idea of an eagle is just awesome, how God has created the eagle and what it is created to do. When you think of an eagle, what's it created to do? What do you think of with an eagle? Soar. It soars high above. High above. And Isaiah 40:31 that says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I might have went too far there. There they go. Now, the eagle is mentioned in the Bible approximately 36 times. If it's in the King James Version, if it's in the NIV, I think it's 29 or something like that. But anyway, 30 times. 30 times in Scripture, God refers to an eagle. And it's a very unique creature. And I want you to think of this verse right now. They that wait upon the Lord. I want you to think about waiting. Waiting, when you're waiting for something and you're excited about it, what is that like? What was it like for a child the first time he's gone to school? I heard Ivan say about, I can't think of your son's name, Reagan. He was excited about going to school. Did he sleep good that night? I mean, was he ready to go to bed? No. He was waiting with anticipation to go to school the next day. And they that wait upon the Lord does not mean we're going to sit around and just, oh, well, I'll just wait for whatever happens, happens. It's all in God's care. I mean, yeah, you know, it's all okay and whatever. No, we're waiting with anticipation. We are excited about what is going to happen. The promises are all in the Scripture. And we are waiting with anticipation and excitement for what God has for us. Not this low down, just wait and lulag around. No, they're excited. And then it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Only those that are waiting with that anxiety, that not anxiety, but that excitement, wanting to see what God has for them. That's my desire for this church, that we would be excited about what God has in our for us in our lives. Not about, you know, the thing that really stirred this was a negative feeling about church. Negativity. Negativity kills the soul. Negativity kills everything about life. Life is not negative. Life doesn't happen negative. And I am shocked and appalled when you talk to people how many times you ask them about something that's exciting at church and they say, what's happening in your life? What's happening in your brotherhood, in the brotherhood of the church? People don't know. But they know everything negative about church and about life and about themselves and about their brother and about their sister. It is all negative. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we were not created to be negative. Same as the eagle was not created to sit in the wilderness. He was not created to sit down in the wilderness. He was created to soar with eagles. And we were also created to soar like an eagle. Rise up on wings as eagles. Now, Deuteronomy, I want to read a couple of verses here that have to do with an eagle that I found that I thought were exciting. Deuteronomy 32:11 says, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on pinions. Now listen, pinions are the tip of his wings. That's where he carries his young. He will catch them. Do you know when a mother eagle is training its young to fly? It does a lot of things. It takes its nest, first of all, and it takes all the comfort out of its nest and throws it over the cliff. It'll take all the fur, everything it has laid in that nest, the softness, and throw it out, and that eagle will sit there in a cold nest all by itself all night long. The next day when it gets out and walks around on a rock, the mother eagle will go back in the nest and take out the next layer and throw it over the rock. 3 nights it takes to get rid of the whole nest till the eagle just sits on a rock. Then the mother will come up to the eagle and it will come and it will nod for it to get on its back. And it will take off flying with the baby on its back. And the baby feels so comfortable, warm, and safe. But that mother eagle will take off and in flight, in fact, they fly 137 miles an hour. And they will do a flip and knock the baby eagle off. They will fly upside down and make so the baby eagle falls off. The thing that baby eagle don't know is that that mother can fly faster than that baby can fall. Yeah, because as it's struggling trying to fly, that mother will swoop down and catch that baby, right like that says. Spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions. Isn't that amazing? They knew so much about eagles back then also. I mean, that is just awesome. That's how God is with each one of us. He really is. He wants us to trust Him so much, just like the eagle. He made him ride. The Lord alone led him. No foreign God was with him. He made him ride on the heights of the land and fed him with the fruit of the fields. He nourished him with honey from the rock and with oil from the flinty crag. And then in Job, it again talks about the eagle. And here's a question. Does the eagle soar at your command and build its nest on high? Does it do this at your command, or whose command does that eagle listen to? Whose is it listening to? God has created that eagle for that very purpose. He dwells on a cliff and stays there at night. A rocky crag is his stronghold. From there, he seeks out his food, and his eyes detect it from afar. Now, if eagles were created to soar, as we were created to be called out. And the other thing about an eagle, a lion, you take a lion, it's a strong creature of the animal world, okay? The lion is the strength of the animal world. It's the king of the animal world. That's how the eagle is to the bird world. And folks, that's how the Christian should look to the human race. Really should. But we don't. Because I think we don't recognize why we were created and who we need to be. Do you know that an eagle, when it builds its nest, it's very, very high on a mountain. And it could be up not only on the mountain, but then up in a long, an old dead tree or right on the crag of a rock. Its only enemy, I shouldn't say it's only, the main enemy of the eagle is a serpent, a snake. An eagle has such sharp eyes that he will see any other animal that tries to come anywhere close to him. He will pick it out just like that. But a snake can slither up without it seeing him. A snake or a serpent. And you know what? That's our enemy. That's our enemy also is the serpent. And he slithers in just like that without us knowing, unawares. The other thing neat about an eagle is when an eagle is pursued, if a bird would dare even try and pursue an eagle, but they do, an eagle will not necessarily challenge it. It will turn and fly directly toward the sun. Now think about that. The eagle is the only bird that can fly toward the sun. It's got built-in sunshades, literally. No other bird can do that. None. The way I understand, any other bird that would fly toward the sun would blind it. It has no idea where it's going. That is how we should do. Huh? Fly toward the sun. Something's going on in our lives. Are we willing to go toward the sun of Jesus Christ? I mean, the sun, Jesus Christ? I just found so many facts about the eagle that I just thought were really unique. And the one thing about an eagle is Once it gets out its nest and starts to fly on its own, every eagle will claim a rock, okay? Every eagle will claim its rock. There's one rock that an eagle will claim. Now, anytime that eagle gets into trouble, anytime that eagle is sick, hurt, wounded, whatever it may be, it will do whatever it takes to get back to that rock. The rock. Okay? Every eagle has a rock. Now, there is several things that an eagle will go to its rock for that are where it will just sprawl. It will just sprawl out across the rock like this. Wings out, feet out, head out, and it looks like it's dead. One of them is their molting period, which they go through with their feathers. And you know, anybody know anything about chickens and turkeys? I guess all birds go through that. But it will lay out just on its rock like that during that period of time. And the other one is if it gets poisoned. If an eagle gets poisoned, which it can happen from an animal, or I don't know, I'm not sure all the details of how it can get poisoned, but if it gets poisoned, it will lay itself out on its rock, flat out, so the sun can heal it. Okay? Literally, the sun itself will heal that eagle through the sun rays. Now, I don't understand all the vitamins and all the technical stuff that happens from sun rays and all that, but that's what they have found out, that an eagle will spread out and just lay in the sun and soak up sun to heal. Wow. Isn't that a picture? Isn't that a picture of us when we have hurts and pains and things that are going on in our lives that we would lay out on the rock and allow the sun, God's sun, to heal us? That's awesome. I just got so excited about some of the things. And then the last one that it'll do that for is in death. When an eagle is dying at the end of its years, it will do that in death. It will lay out on a rock and die, completely spread out on its rock. That's how we want to be. That's exactly how we want to be. In death, we want to be spread out across that rock. In hurts, in pain, in life all around, we want to be spread out on that rock like an eagle. Now, I found a couple things here in Scripture about the rock. Rock of salvation. In Psalm, these are four. I got four things about a rock that I found that were so unique. And then Benita read that in Psalms about a rock. And I don't know, that's the only word that stuck out to me when she read that was about the rock. Because that's what we want to talk about this morning. The rock of salvation. He says, Psalm 89:26, He will call out to me, You are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior. Do we recognize Jesus like this? He's our rock, the solid foundation, the surety of who we are in everything we do. It's exciting to recognize. And I'll just say this. I was speaking to someone this past week that said, you know, in all the things that they would like to see in life, the one thing I asked them, I said, are you sure of your rock? Are you sure of your Jesus? Are you sure and can you be secure in who Jesus is in your life? Or are you looking for someone else to fill that void? Are you looking for something else to fill that void of Jesus? If you are not going to allow a void in your heart, a void in your life to be filled with Jesus Christ, you are going down in hurt and pain. Because someone else will not fill that void. Someone else will not fix that hole. That hole is meant for Jesus. He is the only one that can bring that healing. An eagle even knows that. Okay? An eagle knows that. We need to recognize that. These are things we can learn from nature that I think are so exciting. Rock of refuge. But the Lord has become my fortress and my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. When things are not going okay in our lives, when something's happening, are we willing to come and just sprawl out on the rock of Jesus Christ? Sprawl out and allow God's Son to heal us, bring healing to our lives, and be still and know that I am God. Would you be willing to do that? Just lay out and accept Christ's healing in your life. Okay, the rock of rest. Again, each man will be like a shelter from the wind and a refuge from the storm. Like the streams of water in the desert and the shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. A great rock, okay? The shadow of a great rock in a thirsty land. And we could go into all kinds of things about the rock there. Rock of refreshment. They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rock. He split the rock and water gushed out. rock of refreshment. Is that who Jesus is to you this morning? Is that who Jesus is to you? Or who is He? Who is He? When you think of Jesus, is it just that we come to church, feel good, and go home? Who is Jesus to you? That's my question this morning. Now, the main point I want to make this morning is this. An eagle will live to be about anywhere from 80 to 90 years old in good health. Okay, 80 to 90 years old. But somewhere around 30 to 40 years old, an eagle will go into a moping period. Okay, it will go into a pity me, self-pity moping period, where it's all about him. That's all I can think about. Okay, now what that eagle will do is he will stop flying, he will stop soaring like he was created to do. And he will fly down into a wilderness. And he will sit there. And he will just sit there. Okay? He don't want to be in no part of any other bird. He just wants to sit there. Now, a couple things happen when that eagle's sitting down there. One of them is his claws start to crack. Okay? Where he can no longer, he wouldn't be able to, that's his weapon of getting food. He wouldn't be able to grasp a rabbit or a squirrel. The other thing is, the bird that used to be able to fly 137 miles per hour now can only fly about 37 miles per hour. He can just barely get around in the wilderness. He will get very weak. His eyes will start to fill up with a mucus where he can no longer see. He can't see danger. He can't see anything good in life. He can't see to get food. He can't see anything good about life. He will sit there and just pity himself in self-pity. Now, many eagles die in that wilderness. And there is many people die in that wilderness. Death. It's not made to be that way. I don't know what makes an eagle do that. I don't understand. And at the same time, I don't understand why people do that. But there is an out. Okay? There is an out. One other thing that happens while that eagle's sitting down there in the wilderness, it will cry out to other eagles, okay? It will cry out to other eagles. And those eagles that have been in that wilderness will fly overhead and will drop in meat, okay? But there is one thing that an eagle will not do. He will not go down there and sit with that eagle. He will not do it. Because he will die there also. Okay? He knows that if he gets trapped in that wilderness and sits there with that eagle has not made up its mind to want healing. Okay? So he will also die in that wilderness. He will not do it. He will not sit down there in the wilderness with another eagle. He will drop him meat. But that eagle, to survive life, must make up its mind that it wants life. Okay? And I see this with people. We have got to know that we want life and that we want it more abundantly. You know, the look on their faces testifies against them automatically. Isaiah already says that. Isaiah 3:9 says, the look on their faces will testify against them where they're at. What's going on? Do you want life or do you not? Okay? Many people have had meat, rhema, dropped on them. Powerful messages, powerful things. People praying for them, people doing this. But you know, if that person does not want life, it is to no avail. That person has to make up. You know, Johnny Cash was not my favorite singer, but I'll tell you what, he was pretty right when he sang that song, You've Got to Walk That Lonesome Valley. Listen, I'm not saying that we don't care for them people. What I'm saying is that person that's walking that lonesome valley must make up his mind that he wants life. No one can make up their mind for you, your mind for you. No one can make your mind up for you. You must determine in your heart that you want life. And that you want it more abundantly. That life of Jesus Christ, that solid rock, that we would hang on to that. And we would give it all we got for Jesus. Not for you, not for me, but for Jesus. It's all about Him. You know, there's several things I see with people and wilderness conditions. And I think I have some of them listed here. Let me just check. Wilderness conditions that people get into, okay? Here's some wilderness conditions that I sense. The wilderness of slander and gossip. Listen, people. The wilderness of slander and gossip. You will never rejoice with the saints if you are caught up in any kind of slander and gossip. It will not happen. You cannot go there. You will never rejoice with the saints if you are caught up in the bondage of slander and gossip. Period. It will not happen. You must determine to walk out. You must be determined to be set free. It is your choice and no one else's. I know it's easy when you're caught up in a sin or you're caught up in a bondage of any kind. I know it's easy to blame someone else. If they would just do something just a little bit different, then I wouldn't do this. No, my friend, it don't work that way. You have a choice. You have a choice. Proverbs 16:28 says this, a perverse man stirs up dissension, which means discord or rebellion. And a gossip separates close friends. 2 Peter 2:10 to 12 says, this is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. But these men will blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed, and like beasts, they too will perish. That is a loaded couple of verses. Jude 8 says this, in the very same way these dreamers pollute their own. The wilderness of slander and gossip. You are not going to prosper spiritually until you're willing to be true to the body, the bride of Jesus Christ. By the way, that's what Jesus is coming back for. He's not coming back for some individual that's... He's coming back for a body, okay? A group of believers that are sold out for Jesus Christ. Listen, Judas was an untrue man, okay? He went through the motions while he walked with Jesus. He was not real, okay? He was not real. Now, most of the disciples probably did not even know that, but Jesus did, okay? But he was untrue, very untrue. And I picture him as a slanderer and a gossiper. I really do. I picture Judas as that very person. Because he was not real about who he was serving. He was not real about what was going on in his life. And who he was walking with. And the people that he was in contact with. He wasn't real. I think in some sense he pretended to be. But he was not real. Just going through the motions. Now, some people get into the wilderness of meddling. And we use that term sometimes lightly. But listen. The Bible says... In Proverbs 20, verse 3, it says, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be a meddler. Or every fool will be meddling. And listen, meddling means you're involved in something that is not your business. Nothing to do with you. Okay? You want to get involved, it's a little bit like if Andy's got a problem with Jake. And I come over to Andy, oh man, Andy, you know, yeah. I mean, what can you do? Okay? That's meddling. That's not my problem. That is between you two. Okay? That's meddling. And it says, a fool will be meddling. Okay? Proverbs 26:17 says this, like one who seizes a dog by the ears is a passerby who meddles in a quarrel that is not his own. Ouch. And in today's terms, we don't call it meddling. We call it brotherly love. We call it loving our brothers. Jude 16 says, these men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others of their own advantage. Okay? Listen. People involve themselves and others in conflicts that are not their own. Question number one. I got two questions. Number one, if you think that you belong involved in somebody else's quarrel, there's two questions you need to ask. Am I part of the problem? One question. And then figure that out for yourself. And the second one is, am I part of the solution? And if not, you have no right being there. Am I part of the problem or am I part of the solution? Two things. That's the only two questions you can ask. And then answer them for yourself. Am I part of the problem or am I part of the solution? Because if you're not, you're meddling. And you are, yeah. Then some people also get in the wilderness of hurts and self-pity. And all these things, I will tell you, I am as guilty as anyone else. I've dealt with a lot of these things, and I still struggle with them. Don't get me wrong. Now, when I talk about hurts and self-pity, I'm talking about hurts from the past. There is a lot of people that deal with wounds from the past. And you know, I want to recognize that. There is nothing like, well, just get over it. That's not true, okay? That's not where I'm going here. But somewhere in your life and in your walk and in your hurt, you have to determine that you want life. Because if you don't, you are going to die in that hurt and that self-pity. You literally will die in that. You will not get help except you determine that you want help, that you want life, that you want to overcome, that you want to go beyond. You're the one that needs to determine that, okay? Each one of us needs to determine that in our own heart. Without that, we will not get life. We will not be set free. It will not happen. Because if we don't determine that, people that want to befriend us automatically will be turned off because we've already rejected them by not recognizing in our own life that we want life. We have to recognize we want life. Now, just as the eagle, I never did finish how the eagle, when the eagle is down in that moping period, when that eagle, most eagles will die in that wilderness. Now, an eagle can actually get out, but he has to determine that he wants to get help. And the only way that he does is he walks all the way back up the mountain to his rock, because he can't fly that high. He's already been too weak. He's been pitting himself so bad, he's been so weak. He can't even fly back to his rock. He has to walk back to his rock. It's a long trek for an eagle. A long trek. But when he gets a determination, and that's why the other eagles will fly over and drop him meat to give him strength that he can walk back to his rock. Okay? And when he gets back to his rock, the one thing he will do is he will lay flat out on that rock for healing. He will sprawl out that the sun can heal him. He will sprawl out just completely like that. Now, he will also his mucus will start to go away because the sun starts healing him, okay? Brings healing. His mucus will go away. He actually gets a growth on his beak to where he can't even eat, okay? So he's trying to eat this meat and he can't even eat it, and either he's going to die or he's going to determine he wants life, so he's going to walk back here. He has to take that, his beak on the rock, and has to scrape all that calcium, whatever the type, I don't know what it is, but some kind of a buildup off of his beak. He's got to sharpen his claws on that rock. Okay? Everything has to do with that eagle. His life has to do with his rock. That's exciting, friends. That is exciting. This morning, I would like to say something. I would like to say as a church that we have been in a wilderness. And people, we in our own hearts have to determine whether or not we want to come out. We have a choice. We can walk around slandering, gossiping, slapping, being negative, whatever it is. Or we can determine that we want life. And that we want it more abundantly, more than anything else on this earth. That we want life. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you want life, and if you are willing to come back to the rock of Jesus Christ, if you are willing to come back and stand on that rock, choose to receive a new, renewed passion for the church, a renewed zeal for what we are going for, which is Jesus Christ. what we are standing for, what we are all about. If you would choose to do that this morning, I want to say that right here is the rock. And those of you that would be willing to come forward, I want to pray for us. Will you choose to flee from the slander and the gossip? Will you choose to flee from meddling? Will you choose to take your hurts of the past back to the rock? And will you choose to flee from self-pity? No matter what kind of wilderness condition you are in, you need to take some fresh meat, okay? You need to take some fresh meat and get back to Zion. Get back on your rock, the rock of Jesus Christ. This morning I asked Mikey, I think he's here, if he would lead a song. And in that, I am calling the church to rise up to that rock, the rock of Jesus Christ. If you are willing to come back to the rock, I want you to come forward while Mikey sings.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in your own good time you answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait. When sorrow's plain, let me humble my pride and call on thy name. Keep my faith, renew my eyes on thee. Let me be in this world what you want me to be. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to
I just want to pray a prayer of blessing on everyone this morning. God, we come to you and I thank you so much for the heart desire of people not wanting to live in that wilderness. God, that we would want to walk back to the rock. And God, would we just soak up who you are to us, God, that we would just be real and allow your love to flow into each one of us. God, I just pray a blessing on each one this morning. God, would your name be glorified above all else that we do, and that as we come back to the rock, that we can just be renewed and be zealous and be excited for the church of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. I would like to ask just everyone to stand right where you're at. Right where you're at, just stand. And we want to sing a song together because, folks, I want you to realize something, that in all this, we've got the power. We really do. As a Christian, just as an eagle is the power of the bird life, and the lion is the power of the animal life, so are the Christians in this world. And we do got the power. Let's sing it out like we mean it. Let's
stand and let's agree together. The power of our enemies will crumble at our feet. with the Lord by our side.
What an exciting thing to think about, that we've got the power. I just want to close in a word of prayer and consider you all dismissed. But listen, if there's someone that needs to talk to someone, I want to be available. And I know Jerry and Elvin do too. So please, don't be afraid to talk to us. I'd like to help someone. But they need to determine that they want to walk out. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you and I thank you so much for life. And that life abundant. God, that we've got the power, that we can walk forward in strength and power that you have created us to do. You have created us to be worshipers of you. You have created us to be, yes, in tune with you. And God, we want to do that by coming back to the rock this morning. God, would your name be glorified? We pray a blessing on each one of the people that come out this morning, God, everyone here. Would you go with them? Would you strengthen them and give them the courage to be who you created them to be? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless each one of y'all. You all dismissed.